Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Well, about 2 hours before I decided to do this show, my allergies went berserk, or that horrible cold that I had about a month ago just came back. I don't know which it is. So please bear with me. I decided I would stick it out in either way. We're going to talk about six things today. So I won't spend a lot of time on any one topic. We're going to talk about the evolution of creation, some more of the compound words in German. We're going to talk about happiness. We're going to discuss the creational natural laws again. We're going to go over duty to yourself, which is found in the book The Way to Live, and we're going to talk about reincarnation. Now, the Meyer teachings, most all these programs I do are based on the Meyer teachings. There's a whole section on a topic called the creation, which creation is roughly synonymous with the term universe. But the creation conceptually is an extremely complicated topic. We're going to talk about the evolution of creation, and there's a really nice video by Michael Utterbrook, and it talks about something called the wake and the sleep cycles of creation. Yeah, our universe is evolving. We have this concept of God, particularly in the Western world and in Christianity and Judaism. And it's kind of based on a misunderstanding, is the only thing I can think of at this moment to describe it. And it got merged with the idea of these very powerful human beings that were on the earth in the ancient past. So when we think about the creation of this universe, we think about an individual that has a personality that in some ways is very much like a human, and he's running the show. And sometimes he's called a father, God the Father. Well, the Meyer information says that's not really the way it is. The Meyer information explains that creation is not a God or a father figure. It has no gender, and it isn't positive or negative. It's in complete equality. It's neutral, and the power and wisdom of creation is the greatest in its own space-time structure. So our creation, our universe, has its own space-time structure, and the universal consciousness, the creation, is continuously evolving. You know, Christianity has the idea of this stagnant, let's say, a perfect creator, where the Meyer information explains that we have a superintelligence without a personality that is driving the evolution of our universe, and it is evolving. And our universe is bound to the laws of an even higher creation. There is something called an creation. It's even a higher power of consciousness than our universe. And the creation created this creation out of its own idea. So the next higher creation, or universe, is what our creation is evolving into. Now, there are many, many evolutionary steps to creation. We, in our creation, is the lowest form of all creations. And above us is this earth creation. So our creation has what's called the lowest swinging waveform, and it's the least old and the least developed of all creation forms. And our creation, our universe, is at the very beginning of its evolution. Now, it's already 46 trillion years old. Our Dern universe was created 46 trillion years ago, and a parallel universe was also created. It's called the Tao universe. And these two universes are adjacent to each other, and they both have been evolving together. I think they're very similar. And our universe is defined as a roughly egg-shaped. It spirals, and it has seven counter-rotating rings or bands. And the fourth band from the center is what's called the material belt, and it contains all the stars and the planets and the galaxies. And this is where we reside. Now, only the lowest form of creation has this material belt. I'm sorry to say, I kind of like material. At least I think I do. Excuse me, again, I'm dealing with some strange anomaly that's occurring in my body at the moment. So, the creation has seven counter-rotating rings. The fourth layer contains all of the stars and the planets and the galaxies, and there are seven different space-time configurations in that fourth layer. Excuse me. So when the Meyer information talks about the people that live in this space-time configuration and that space-time configuration, that's what it's talking about. Please bear with me. So our creation form is the lowest form of all creations. It has the lowest swinging wave. It is the least old and least developed of all the creation forms. And our creation form is at the very beginning of its evolution. It must evolve from the lowest to the highest form of evolution. Our creation has the lowest knowledge of all creation forms. Our creation must continue to evolve into something that's called the absolute absolutum form. And within a certain time period, our creation must perfect itself. Now, this first sleep-wake cycle of our creation kind of goes like this. It will expand for 155.5 trillion years. And in this expansion phase, material beings are created. And only in the first expansion phase are spiritual forms created. And then the creation will contract for 155.5 trillion years. As I said earlier, our creation is 46 trillion years old. It's in its first expansion phase. Now, there's something called one great time. And a great time consists of a single expansion and contraction. So if you could think of your lungs expanding and breathing in and then exhaling, that would be like an expansion and contraction phase. Or your muscles contracting and expanding, maybe your biceps or something. So we have what's called a great time, which is 311 trillion years. And it's made up of the expansion phase and the contraction phase. And the expansion phase and the contraction phase are 155.5 trillion years. You see, the universal consciousness in the German is referred to as something called a Wesenheit. This is a different category of a living being. It has a small amount of self-determination. You know, human beings, dogs, cats, birds, etc., are Wesen. We have personalities and we have self-determination. Now, rocks and sand and energy and certain gases and water, those are in the category of the Wesenheit. They don't really have self-determination. Now, the universal consciousness does, but you can see it follows a very rigid schedule, and it only does certain things at certain times. So it's not a free agent like a human being. See, it has no personality anyway. So it wouldn't be deciding to take the day off, right? But every living thing requires rest. So there's also what's called a pre-birth phase. So before the Big Bang, the creation enters into what's called the pre-birth phase. And it lasts a long time. This pre-birth phase takes something like 933 trillion years. So after this pre-birth phase, then we start the expansion. So anyway, I thought I would give you, that's probably enough to kind of reorient us to the evolution of creation. So the Meyer information says there really is no God in the sense that the religions teach. There is a spiritual energy that radiates love, that has no personality, that creates human spirit forms and human bodies and all this beautiful nature as a part of its own evolution. So anyway, that's the Meyer perspective on that. Let me rip through a couple. I won't rip through. That's a bad way to put it. But I'll go kind of quicker through a couple more of these concepts. Excuse me. In these compound words, there's so many compound words in German. For example, to live is Leben. And we have this idea called zeal. For example, fulfillment. If you're talking about, you know, sometimes zeal is equated with a target or a goal or life determination or something along those lines. But it also can mean the fulfillment in if it's used as a noun. Now, if you say Lebenszeal, which is a compound word again in the German, it's life determination. And the gobble of truth, it says, because everyone changes inexorably in order to unfold, evolve, so that he or she may fulfill the determination of the life. So in that case, your Lebenszeal is what you were born to do, which is evolve your consciousness. We also have a Lebenskraft or Lebenskraft, which is your life power. And that comes from our spirit form. The Lebenskraft does. What does the Goblet of Truth say about the spirit form? Goblet 22:16 says, you human beings have a larger innermost self. The spirit form, which animates your consciousness block, is a tiny part piece of creation. Therefore, your life power is dependent on it physically, i.e. bodily. So you wouldn't have any life power, and you wouldn't last a second without your spirit form, your Geist form, your spiritual consciousness. There's another compound word in the German called Lebensführung, which talks about your life conduct. It is your life conduct. And your life conduct determines your happiness. So does your willingness to strive. Goblet, I think it's chapter 23:19, says, "And your happiness is as fragile as moldy wood, and your life conduct is useless as a rotting fruit." So we have the spirit dash energy, which is another compound word, Geisen energy. Every spirit energy which is determined in order to enliven some sort of life form, whereby not only humans, animals, all creatures, up to microbes. Microbes have some sort of spirit energy. Bacteria, viruses, and so forth are life forms. Also, this is always wraps my mind big time. It says here, also rock, stone, sand, and water. These are life forms which belong to the vicissitude of coming about and passing away. Is creational spirit energetic and is endowed, according to creational laws, with its own intelligence? So sand, water, rock, stones have their own intelligence. Wow. And let me follow this link in case you think I'm making it up. It's Bulletin 59. And it says, I think the title of this bulletin is Spirit Energy is Within All Things. Let me read just a few lines here. Every spirit energy, and there's a compound word again, spirit energy, which is determined in order to enliven some sort of life form, whereby not only humans, animals, and all creatures up to microbes, bacteria, viruses, and so forth, are life forms, rather also rocks, stones, sand and water, and so forth, which belong to the vicissitude of coming about and passing away, is creational spirit energetic, and is endowed according to the creation laws with its own granted intelligence, through which the form of the living being, respectively, the life form, is determined and steered. Always in accord with nature of the life-form, it thereby occurs that these engender an independent intelligence from out of the consciousness through the power of their form of consciousness. So these things have some form of consciousness, I guess, even rocks. Conscious, instinctive, impulsive, or dynamic, which is produced through the power of the spirit and the power of the collective consciousness block. However, the autonomous intelligence always remains dependent on the energy and the power of the spirit, because the consciousness also can only be enlivened by the spirit energy and spirit power. For the human, that means that he can only comply with his consciousness evolution by means of his intelligence, which springs from his consciousness, and thereby also by means of his reason and understanding. But that would not be possible if the creational spirit form stored in the human would not bring the necessary intelligence into the consciousness of the human via the collective consciousness block. Oh man, allergies, I guess. I do apologize for that. Wow. I don't know what's in the air today, but my body isn't liking it. We do a live show here, folks, as you can tell. Oh, my goodness. Maybe a short live show today. Anyway, more about the consciousness, more about German words, which are so locked up with so much information. It's just incredible. I'm going to close some tabs here. I got my browser open. Hopefully I won't be sorry I did this. Contact Report 10 occurred, as you know, many, many years ago when Semyase would land her ship in Switzerland. And these were in the 70s. I think the 70s. Man, what a time of evolution. If you could listen to the music of the 70s, it sounds as vital today as it did then. And then we have this woman from another world landing in Switzerland to speak with a man that has a spirit form that's 9.6 billion years old. And this is one of the things she told him. And I'll read just a little bit of this to you. And this just talks about happiness. She said, if a person is happy, then his happiness comes from within. Because happiness is a self-created state. But happiness is never a place. Joy comes from within man, created from spiritual and consciousness balance. Let me just think about that for a minute, because, you know, whenever I get my balance back, that's when my happiness comes. That's when my enthusiasm comes. So think about yourself when you're finally balanced again. You know, you've been out of balance a little while. Work or whatever got you out of balance. And then the joy comes back. Because you have this spiritual and consciousness balance again, I need to remember that. So everything comes from the inside. The things and people that seem to form the cause of happiness are only the external cause that happiness expresses itself in man when he has consciously worked towards it. So we strive for happiness. But happiness is something that also belongs to the innermost, to the spiritual being. Remember, there are two personalities. You have an inner self and an innermost personality, which has quiet impulses of wisdom. But happiness is something that also belongs to the innermost, to the spiritual being, and it is an inseparable characteristic of the existence of creation. Infinite happiness and infinite power are contained in this existence. The human being may be outwardly old, but that is only a temporary matter. 50 years ago, he was not dead and will not be in 50 years when his body is dead. 50 years ago, he was not yet and will not be in 50 years when the body is dead, because only he can become old and frail, but the spirit remains eternally young and is never subject to the signs of aging. So I just wanted to cover that, where happiness comes from, the inside. And happiness is related to striving. Remember, your willingness to strive is your willingness to be happy, in a sense, which is an amazing thing. People don't realize, which I don't realize, or I would strive more. We were talking about creation a few minutes ago. Creation has laws. They're called the creational natural laws. The first one of these laws is the law of love, which is the highest form of love. It's called effective love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So if you look at nature, you'll see the logic. You'll see the beauty. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. If you've seen your cats or your dogs. And you know that animals, really, they have instinct, but they're really programmed with love. And they're also programmed with the prey and the predator instinct. But really, you know, you see these men that train lions and know them when they're real young, and the lions remember, and they're their buddies. Now, occasionally, I'm certain things go wrong in those cases, and people end up getting killed. The animals, every time you plant, every time you animal fulfills its purpose in love. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing would be able to exist. So this is the effective love of creation. It's live and help live. The next second creational natural law, I should probably study in a lot more detail, because I don't think I really understand it the way I should. It's the law of striving. And without striving, there is no life. Excuse me. We have to continue to strive to maintain a life. The other interesting aspect of that, as I've excuse me, I might have to cut short today. That there is no sense of life without striving. Depending on the degree of the strength of the striving in any single vision, it will assert itself in the world, prevail, or will fall, shatter, waste away, and come to an end and vanish. So, therefore, delectation, harmony, and happiness, as well as everything positive, as well as grief, and everything negative in the end, only the revelation of how pronounced the striving is in any life form. So the happiness, the harmony, is a revelation of how pronounced the striving is that you have within you. So this is a good thing for me to contemplate. You know, sometimes we get grumpy or tired, and we don't want to deal with certain issues and associated with work. But you know, one of the things that lately in my striving that's really been nice is I think I've learned how to clean out my garage better. Oh, boy, I'm talking about getting off topic, but it's a lot of satisfaction when you can really strive at something, and something mundane like really getting your garage cleaned up, especially when you've got six cats. I just get a real sense of accomplishment from that, even though it's like a mundane task. I can't enjoy it. It's very weird. The law of harmony is a creational natural law. Three, the bipolar structure of everything that exists, the positive and the negative. Love harmony says your thoughts should be neutral, positive. So you're always checking, always checking, always checking. Am I thinking in a neutral, positive way? I had to do that again today. And I think sometimes we fall into behavior patterns and we are not neutral, positive, but we don't realize we're not neutral, positive. And it can negatively affect us profoundly. And we don't even realize it because it's subconscious in many ways. So that reminds me, I need to get into our, what I guess is our true meat of our topic today, which I was going to talk about lines of thought, trains of thought. And I didn't even mention that in my list of things that I wanted to cover. I didn't even write it down, which is very bizarre. But I'm glad we covered what we did cover. It was very interesting to me, especially that creation stuff. And just the way our creation works is very, very interesting. Let me read a little bit from the Might of Thoughts, page 82. A fundamental distinction must be made between emotions and feelings. In complete contrast to the philosophical and psychiatric and psychological schools of thought, they represent two completely unlike factors, which in their form have nothing in common with each other. Feelings, namely, are created as a result of particular lines of thought. So we go through particular lines of thought, and somebody out there who's a great German person, please correct me on this. Actually, I'm going to try to copy this into Dict. DICT.cc. It's a great website. It won't find all your German terms, especially the Meyer stuff, but sometimes it can help a lot. It's not in there. I wonder if I got this from Figu Dictionary. Sometimes I forget where I find this information. Figu Dictionary is the site for Figu, where they define all kinds of terms. Can't find it. It's funny. I'm probably going to have to retrace my steps. You know, there's a word, Gedanke. Like, the might of thoughts is Macht der Gedanken. And there's Gedanke. And, excuse me, there is another compound German word called Gedankenkraft, which is the power of your thoughts. And the power of your thoughts is really what this book is about. And it's telling us that feelings grow out of our thoughts, and they grow out of lines of thoughts. And, yeah, okay, Gedanken, Ganje, I think it's pronounced in Ghana, is the word, and I found it actually in my Might of Thoughts book. And folks, I am probably going to bail out on you at a very, very early time like this, but we'll pick back up hopefully tomorrow. And you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. My name is Mark Snyder. We cover the Meyer spiritual teachings on a pretty regular basis. So please also go out to Contemplate Creation out on YouTube. And these shows are put to beautiful images. And it really helps with going and enjoying the program. Let me put it to you this way. Look up on YouTube, Contemplate Creation, and a friend of mine who's kind of my producer, is putting together some fantastic YouTube videos. Enjoy this very much. Thanks a lot for your time. I know it's very short. We'll be back tomorrow. If you haven't heard this show, listen to it from its beginning. Some really good topics, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye-bye.